Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Show broadcasting live. I'm Don Allen, and at the downtown at the Minnesota Lynx game is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, what's going on down there?
Don, it's a packed house. Over 17,000 here at the Target Center in downtown Minneapolis. The Minnesota Lynx has just gone up by 12 points, 35-23. We are 4 minutes and 45 seconds left in the third quarter. This is a massive crowd. It's just unbelievable. I don't know what to call it. Juice, power, you know, electricity. Mm-hmm. It's all here. As the Minnesota Lynx are attempting to win their first championship in front of their home crowd. The two previous championships, 2011, 2013, they won on the road. But this is a packed house. It has been just unbelievable here this evening, Don. Indiana playing its heart out, but the Lynx playing tremendous defense. Now, I know my associate, Mr. Allen, is not necessarily a big sports fan. This is what it is. I can't explain it, Don. The crowd has just pumped up over 17,000.
Yeah, we hear them.
Let's not talk in terms of what we have. I'll probably have to change location in a couple of minutes, but go ahead and let you get started with whatever the latest news updates are here in the Twin Cities.
Okay, well, you know, what we have going on, as most people know, is the three children that were killed in the North Minneapolis fire. A lot of controversy surrounding that issue and what happened and the whereabouts of the mother. I know, Mr. Edwards, last week we reported right here on this station some details that later came out in the Star and Tribune. It's like they were listening to our show that the mother was not at home. And that's unfortunate. And to our listeners that are concerned, we're not really trying to jump or bash on this mother. There was an unforeseen set of circumstances. You had babies sleeping on the floor. You had candles going. You had all kinds of craziness in that house. Allegedly, it was boarded up. A window was boarded up. And there's no way those children would have survived or got out in the first place. So, I mean, it's a terrible situation. It happened. But we need to look into this and find out how a mother moves here from Illinois, moves into a house, and her babies are sleeping on the floor. Mr. Edwards.
Don, you're absolutely correct. I think the authorities are waiting till after the funeral, which is supposed to take place on Saturday, as we understand it, at a church in Robbinsdale, which is a suburb of the city of Minneapolis up in the northwest area. There are a lot of rumors going around. We certainly try to stay away from rumors here on the Don and Ron program, but there is some overwhelming evidence, I'm afraid, Don, that the mother was not in the hall at any point, and that those stories had no doubt of
presence in the hall. Mr. Edwards, you're fading in and out.
So the phone line is, of course, open. I know that, as I understand, this afternoon, in talking to confidential sources, is pretty overwhelming that they're negligent. And the county attorney is apparently attempting to prepare a case
Hey, Mr. Edwards, you might have to change your page because you are dropping in and out.
So with their respect for them and respect for their very precious but young lives at this particular point. But again, we're not shirking away from anything. So the phone lines are open, by the way, to score here at the Target Center, 39-25. The Minnesota Lynx over the Indiana Fever with approximately 2:34 left at the third quarter.
Oh, wow. I hope they pull this one off. And it should be a good game. And, it sounds like a good game. And I wish I could be there, but, you know, we have you down there covering it. We appreciate that, Mr. Edwards. And, there's a website online that, you know, there was some cell phone footage put up of this young lady in a club and also some some massage service website where she was scantily clad, and, you know, that just goes to show you that you can't put all your business out in the street like that, especially on with social media watching very closely, because that has been published on other websites and national news websites across the country, and it's looking pretty bad. But, you know, one thing here is
these pictures public or the videos.
Oh, the website is called, and I'm going to use some profanity, it's called Fuck Your Mixtape. That's the name of the website, and it's actually listed on my homepage, on my Facebook page, and on the Ron and Don Show page, which shows very graphic images of this young lady. And a videotape,
you know,
I should say, at the
night. Open. We're ready to answer any questions. Any callers come in and have any specific questions to either one of us. I will relocate you in the stadium. By the way, the Minnesota Lynx are up by 16 points with about 120 shots left.
Oh, wow.
In the third quarter.
Yeah, and that call-in number is 347-426-3904.
Yeah. Oh, you're not on the floor. Indiana it wasn't a very pleasant situation. It comes at a very difficult time when we have a severe level of violence at Patrick Henry High School in Northwest Minneapolis, if you will. We've had tremendous violence there, 36 fights last week alone. There was a full-scale riot on Monday, a number of expulsions. But the school district has maintained that they do not need outside security, which I think raises a serious question about liability, if you will, if someone is shot, stabbed, or beaten in the course of any kind of confrontation. It has been ugly at Henry ever since the first of the school year.
And Mr. Edwards, you are kind of fading out a little, in and out of, you know, your downtown. Mr. Edwards is down at the Timberwolves game, the Minnesota Lynx game, and going into the fourth quarter. And I just want to reiterate what he was saying regarding the violence at Henry High School. On Monday, there was an all-out riot, more than several expulsions, and the Minneapolis Public Schools is not adding any more security to the school. They refused to, and at the board meeting last night, there was words between radio talk show host the Al Flowers and NAACP President Nakima Levy-Pounds and Jerry McAfee, the Reverend Jerry McAfee. So I'm going to see if I can get Mr. Edwards back in here on a secure and easier line coming up shortly.
I'm sorry, do you have a call or not?
No, we don't, Mr. Edwards. You had dipped out for a while, and I was just kind of explaining to the listeners that...
Wait a minute, I'm getting to a more secure area. It is just wild down here. It's crazy. Of course, Minnesota is desperate for a winner. This is probably the premier sports team in the state of Minnesota. So.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Them ladies is bad. Yes.
I hope that we were clear on the confrontation and incidents last night at the Minneapolis School Board meeting and an attempt to provoke the Reverend Jerry McAfee by people that should have identified themselves in calling him out and attempting to have a confrontation, that some of them were agents of the school district. In fact, a specific individual who is a special ed teacher and who works at South High School has been identified in video as attempting to provoke Reverend McAfee and other individuals who were there. Everyone has the right, you know, to their opinion. We may not necessarily like it. We may not like the individual, whatever that's supposed to mean. But I thought it was kind of disconcerting of the school district knowing that some of the people that were screaming at Reverend McAfee were employees of the district.
Yeah, and there's actually a video out online that's titled Reverend McAfee Acting a Damn Fool at the School Board Meeting. I'm going to post that to my Facebook page, so people, you know, Don Allen on Facebook, I let everybody see everything because it's important. If you guys want to take a look at that, you will get a kick out of that. And I'm posting it right now as we speak.
And again, our phone lines are open. Because it wasn't in this morning's edition of the Star Tribune and the story that basically highlighted the current NAACP president. I mean, that's the decision of the Star Tribune, the largest newspaper here in the state of Minnesota. But the fact of the matter is that there were circumstances there that were very polarized. And right now, community is very polarized. I've known Reverend McAfee for a long time. We don't always necessarily agree or accept, but I know that he's a man that's going to try to stand his ground, and I know that he's not going to be intimidated by what's going on here in our city. We had another homicide. We had a young woman shot to death on a corner of a main thoroughfare in South Minneapolis there at Lake Street and basically 4th Avenue. And
Mr. Edwards, this in at 7:18. Minneapolis police are investigating a shooting of a man as he got off a transit bus near 30th and Emerson Avenue North. That came in at 7:18 tonight. So there was actually two shootings, including the one, and he is dead, actually. And community activist K.G. Wilson said that he was running to the place where the guy tried to run to, and he's going to go check him out now and get back with us. And that's, that, of course, what you're talking about, Mr. Edwards, 30th and Emerson.
That would mean at least three shootings, possibly three homicides in the last less than 24 hours. This is certainly not good. And then coming on the heels of the confrontations at Patrick Henry Senior High School in Northwest Minneapolis, not Northeast, but Northwest Minneapolis, residents in that area are terrified at what is happening. I do have to say that the Minneapolis Police Department has attempted to be due diligent, Mr. Allen. The school district wanted their assistance, they were told, though there are police safety officers, they usually have one to a school, if you will. I just don't think that was a wise political choice, and it should have been discussed last night at the board meeting, allowing the citizen, quote-unquote, board of directors, nine members elected by the public, to have had a discussion in an open environment, because, you know, the school board's been meeting quite a bit without a quorum in different locations to make sure they don't have a quorum. But K.G. Wilson, longtime activist, you say, has reported in that there's just been a shooting around 7:18, about an hour and 15 minutes ago, and the individual is DOA. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. That's what he's telling me.
Okay.
He's actually speaking to me live right now via text messages. And so he's saying, yeah, that's 30th and Emerson, it looks like. And then you mentioned the young lady on Lake Street there, and I'm trying to get some more information for him. So if it looks like I'm kind of gazing off into the distance, it's because I'm trying to answer him at the same time. Let's see who else is going on here. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Mr. Edwards, there also was a report. Let me just get to that report regarding the Minneapolis Public Schools being the worst district out of 50 school districts around the United States.
Yes, just recently. Yes, absolutely.
That report out of Washington, D.C. And I guess what has happened is that, you know, like Better Ed is asking what happened to Minnesota's education system. And Devin Foley, the executive director of Better Ed, has really dug down and found a lot of challenges. You know, they're spending, Mr. Edwards, $14,361.48 per student. And the math in high school, at education at a glance in Minnesota, and this is overall Minnesota, you have math is in high schools at 48.7%, reading in high school, 57%. So these things aren't even at 70%, which anybody that has ever taken a test or got scored or has scored knows that 70% is at least passing. And none of these folks in the Minnesota, Minneapolis, especially Minneapolis public schools, are really giving a damn about the students and what's going on. Now, Mr. Edwards, I had mentioned that next week we're going to have Ms. Angela Edwards on from Education Explosion, because
why don't you go ahead and put her on. I know you have been meeting with her and some of her representatives. Let me just give a quick update. The Minnesota Lynx in the fifth and final game of the WNBA playoffs up by 21 points. With about 7 minutes and 55 seconds left to play, it appears, don't want to be premature, that the Minnesota Lynx have won their third WNBA championship in 4 years. But let's wait and see. Let's get Angela on. By the way, for the purpose of transparency, Angela Edwards and myself are not related. So she's a great person. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, she is a great person. Angela, I know you were on hold, and I just had you listening to the show, but Mr. Edwards is downtown, in at the Timberwolves game, and is it okay if we have a conversation?
Don, Link. I told our listening audience, you are definitely not a sports fan. Now, my friends, we'll have all kinds of gender problems. These are the Minnesota Lynx. These are the ladies, baby. These are the ladies. The only real winning professional team in Minnesota. But go ahead.
Yeah. Ms. Edwards, are you there? Okay, let me put that one on hold. Ms. Angela Edwards, if you're listening, please call back into the station and we will get you on the air right away. We greatly appreciate it. And we are sitting here now, Mr. Edwards. I'm going to see if we have a caller. Caller, you're live on the air?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
All right,
good.
How are you, sir?
What's your question?
Yeah.
Because I'm not the audible on this end is kind of tough. I'm in the midst of 17,000 people here at the downtown Target Center. Why don't you go ahead and dialogue with my co-host, Mr. Allen, and if there's any specific question, Mr. Allen will kind of relay it to me. Mr. Allen?
Well, I want you to hear it too, sir.
Yes, sir. He's listening.
Well, yeah, since I think you guys are experts in community relations, how do you think we curb the violence in North Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, St. Paul, and how do you think we kind of tackle this achievement gap that everyone's talking about? I'll listen.
Well, Ms. Allen, why don't you go first, and I'll certainly follow up and pick up. My colleague, Mr. Allen, will begin to respond to your inquiries and your request for solutions. Go ahead.
Yes. And callers, just stay on the line with us just in case Mr. Edwards has another question for you. But I'm going to answer that by saying, first of all, the problem is the economic development in our city. You know, our youngsters, our young people and young adults do not have jobs. They have poured in all this money, a lot, millions of dollars since 2008, since I've been reporting on it, to these agencies that really don't do much. I mean, you have agencies in North Minneapolis that can't get a penny from these people, the state, the Fed, the local, and yet, you know, you have kids walking the street. And I say this quite a bit on the air. You know, when I was a teenager growing up in Minneapolis, they had the neighborhood youth corps. From the age 14 till I was 18, I had a job every year working for the neighborhood youth corps. And they don't have those kind of opportunities now. And when you go to Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell, you don't see our people working there like we used to see in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s. And so that's a huge problem. The achievement gap is a challenge because no one is doing first things first. There's no new deal for the urban mom. And there's enough money to close the achievement gap, but if you close the achievement gap, someone's going to lose some funding. So it's beneficial for these folks to kind of keep things status quo, and it's hard to battle against the status quo because they basically just, you know, they want things the way they are. They want the black children failing. And so now we have a generational fail for all of our children in the public schools, especially the Minneapolis public schools being the worst school district out of 50 based on that report done in Washington, D.C. Mr. Edwards?
I think your points are made. Let me just touch on a couple of other issues. I think, you know, through our call, one of the paramount issues, concerns, and resolutions has to be an economic uplifting. The governor was on a local urban contemporary station on Sunday. Seems like he just was kind of becoming aware that African Americans weren't doing well. He has since then announced the creation of the Office of Minority Services and Contracts, whatever that it's supposed to mean. Only problem is that we had been present here in the state of Minnesota for 200 years before it was even a territory. After it became a territory, Minnesota-Dakota territory, and then after it became a sovereign state. We've been here a long time as the sons and daughters of the African, and I think that it does not do justice to our heritage and our lineage to make it appear that we just came here on the boat. They've got us mixed up with some other people, if you know what I mean. So,
mm-hmm.
One of the additional problems is there must be an infusion of monies, economic development, housing, and et cetera, that leaves people with the understanding that there's hope at the end of the tunnel. Also, it would it would require an effort which would restore, gentlemen, the respect anticipation of success of our young people. I unfortunately, and I saw this happen in my generation, and that is a long time ago. You know, I've seen our youth lose confidence in us, the elders. And in order to carry the title of an elder, if you will, you have to provide elements of success, prosperity, safety to those that come after you and those that are currently here and that are part, quote-unquote, of the history of a people and et cetera. Until we can do all those kind of things, bring ourselves together to do it, we're going to continue to have this problem.
Well, yeah, I hear you, sir. Now, I want specifics, though. I mean, what are you bringing to the table instead of reporting what's going on in the community?
What am I bringing to the table? First of all, at this very hour, I'm a journalist. I bring news and information to the table, to your perspective.
I thought you're a freedom fighter.
What did I do? Well, let me answer the question. What did I previously do as a much younger man?
Oh, we're talking about currently,
I helped,
sir.
Excuse me. I helped integrate the fire department. I fought to integrate the police department. I fought for housing. I fought for a safer community. And I do a lot of things which in some regards are nobody's business with regards to people who come to me with a multiplicity of problems, okay? And so I've done a lot. The record speaks for itself. And, you know, sir, I continue to do a lot. I continue to be called upon by people to help, to provide information, to provide services, to intercede, if you will. And so I've done that for a long time. And also to the question of, you know, what I've done. Again, the record speaks for itself. During my tenure as president, or in other words, chairman of the board of the Urban League, my membership in the NAACP, my role as chairman of the City Civil Rights Commission at a time when we were doing a lot of productive things. So when you ask me the question, what have I been doing? I've been doing a lot.
Okay, sounds good, because I know the governor was on a radio station there. He was also in the community about 4 years ago. He made promises about what he's going to do. So what do you think about the governor's new plan to tackle this astronomic between income, between whites and blacks?
Hey, and Ms. Edwards, if you let me chime in on that with the caller real quick, and then I'll throw it over to you real quick. But I want to tell the caller, you know, sometime, how can I put this? I'm not going to be politically correct. I remember as a kid walking in the backyard and stepping in a pile of dog poop, okay, and trying like hell to wipe it off the bottom of my dress shoes before I go to church in the grass. Okay. Now, the governor in 2011 came in North Minneapolis, and he knew then, okay, in 2011, the situation we were in. You had different people talking to him, different leaders telling him that says, hey, this stuff is not right here. You have the Minnesota Department of Human Rights not bothered with contract compliance. You have the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights never going out and enforcing anything as far as compliance. So you had a state and a city, and if you look at St. Paul actually publishes their embarrassing numbers, where he has black people working 000, Native American 000, and all that. So in 2011, the governor was very clear on what's going on. He goes on a talk show on an urban radio station with the lowest common denominator, someone that's not going to ask him any questions serious, because what it is, it's a celebrity hour. It's kissed in the governor's butt hour. He won't come on a show like this because he wouldn't be able to handle the questions and he couldn't have his crew around him. And so with that said, to tackle would be for him to audit his own Department of Administration, their processes. I've been in the state building, and I just want to share this with you. The website systems that the state uses, I am one of the few African-American men in the state that know how to run them. They don't hire people that look like us to do that kind of work. Okay, ever. And so it's a shame, but that's what's happening. And until they look at themselves, and figure out what's going on, we're still going to have trouble. Mr. Edwards?
Let me grab the history of this city?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you had me on mute or not, John, because I was trying to get your attention. We've given them as much of a response because our question is, you know, what specific issues does he know anything about that he thinks should be addressed, if you will? Maybe we've already been addressing them in our respective roles. Maybe we can help him out. Okay? So
we think we've answered
that question. Mr. Allen put his finger on something. Caller, if you're still with us. 2011, the governor came into UROC. There were 200 people in the room. A woman by the name of Natalie Johnson Lee, a former council member, was the moderator. The governor brought his cabinet with one African-American in it. That was Kevin Lindsay. He talked in terms of what his vision was for the economic uplifting of the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul, the entire state, the African-American, and other populations of color. That was in 2011. So I was a little puzzled when he came back in October of 2015 and seemed to talk in a certain generality that he was going to work on addressing and solving the problem. The problem was here when he came here in 2011. When he came back more officially in 2015, it's still there. So he needs to take an inward look. And we've had on this program the head, probably soon to be the former head of the Council on Black Minnesotans, now known as the Council on Black Americans, who has filed a lawsuit, and we welcome him because you will find our name on a couple of lawsuits that were filed over the last 25 years. And so the history is there. The do is try to see if we can come together with a common strategy and make sure that the resources go to who it's supposed to go to. Okay, Don?
Exactly. Okay. That's
all right.
Great. We've explained it, and I think he is out of the queue right now, probably listening on his computer. So,
Mr. Edwards, Wilson tried to get back to us.
No, not as yet. And I got a text out to him, and hopefully he'll get back to us soon. I was texting him again. And how are the Timberwolves, the Lynx, how are they doing right now? So I don't follow sports at all. So.
Okay. Miss Angela Edwards, no relation, is attempting to get back to us. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm going to actually text her right now and see if she will come on and go from there. Because right now we have a lot of people in the queue, Mr. Edwards, but they're just listening at this point. So we're going to let them listen and go from there. Let me just text her real quick here. Okay.
And we're down to the last 2 minutes and something here at Target Center. Go ahead.
Okay, and are the Lynx still ahead, Mr. Edwards?
The Lynx are ahead by 11 points, Mr. Allen. I'm sorry, they just scored a basket. It's 65-52. Minnesota Lynx over the Indiana Fever again. 2 minutes and 32 seconds left. Lynx 65, Indiana 52. Go ahead. Any callers on the line?
We have a winner.
Let's get them.
No callers, but those phone lines are open at 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. We take calls. Okay. Mr. Edwards, I'm going to bring Ms. Edwards in. Ms. Edwards, Angela Edwards, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Okay. Hey, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Ms. Angela Edwards, the founder and executive director, chairman, et cetera, of Education Explosion. And before I let her say anything, I need to tell our listeners and you, Mr. Edwards, something. Angela Edwards was the woman inside of the Minneapolis Urban League that was putting our community members into college. She's a graduate of a local university. She'll tell us that in a minute. And she has the paper trail of people that came to her and that wanted to get in community colleges, regular colleges, trade schools. And she has Education Explosion on Lindale Avenue. She'll give you the address and phone number. And her main goal is trying to help educate our community. But there's been some challenges with the people who are controlling the purse strings. But anyway, welcome, Ms. Edwards. And can you tell us a little bit about your program?
Yes. First of all, hello, listeners. My name is Angela Edwards, and I'm the founder and director of Education Explosion, which started in 2007, actually in the Minneapolis resource room of the Minneapolis Urban League. I've been advocating for adults in the north of Minneapolis since, which I said was 2007. I actually helped them to complete their educational goal, whether that be GED, college courses, trade school, or whatever. Education Explosion has always help to remove barriers so anyone who's looking to go to school may do so. I have been actually making sure that the community gain resources such as daycare and giving referrals for clothing assistance, transportation, so have you. But Education Explosion is now located at 4149 Lindale Avenue North in the Candle Terrace building, Suite 101. The phone number is 612-529-4606. We're there every day from 9 a.m. to 4:30. My thing is that hopefully this time around that Education Explosion be able to gain funding and the resources needed so that we can assist even more than the 116 people that we have put in school. Education Explosion has done a wonderful job as far as advocating and making sure that urban adults in Minneapolis complete their educational goal. We have seen people go from even knowing how to read, but including college courses. So Education Explosion is now in the building of the Minneapolis Camden Chiropractic Building in the basement. So like I said, funding has really been
I'm sorry about this noise. That's let me just go like this. Okay, go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, funding has been a challenge. I've seeked funding from many different angles and haven't had much luck, but hopefully that changes and we will continue to advocate for adults to go to school in North Minneapolis. Programs such as myself, if education really matters, then you know, the funding should come forward and so that we can continue this mission of helping people, in, especially in North Minneapolis.
And, yeah, and I want to tell people, too, that, you know, if you have a friend, coworker, or family member that's really interested in going to MCTC or the University of Minnesota or one of these trade schools, you guys should give Ms. Edwards a call because she'll walk you through it. And I understand the challenge here, Ms. Edwards, and we've been talking about a lot of the things that's been going on in our city. And we know that the people holding the purse strings have been burnt so many times that they're holding them so tight that it's affecting a lot of agencies. More importantly, your agency who's actually been doing the work for a long time. And so part of having you on tonight, because we have a lot of listeners, not just in Minnesota, but across the country, is we're letting them know that, you know, you are a nonprofit. You can assist Ms. Edwards by donating to Education Explosion. She'll send you a personal letter of thanks back. And why don't you give out your mailing address, Ms. Edwards?
Yes, the address of Education Explosion is 4149 Lindale Avenue North, Suite 101 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55412. We also have a computer We also have a computer lab where we assist you with computer training to even learn the basics of using a computer. We've been having a lot of people to stop in and do walk-ins to where we sit down and teach them basic elements of using a computer. And that is so important in Minneapolis, especially in the north side of Minneapolis. So, yes,
okay.
Come out and utilize the resources. We're there to help you. And no one should even feel ashamed. You didn't know how to read. We can help you to bring up your reading skills.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I'm going to put you back on hold because we have an update from Mr. Edwards. It paged me here like crazy. I guess something happened, but just stand by, and I'll put you back in the queue. Thank you for talking to us, and we're going to have you on again probably next week to give the full story when we have you in studio, and so we won't have to have all this other extra the stuff, you know, everyone's celebrating downtown. Thank you. Mr. Edwards.
Mr. let me shoot back in, yes. It's official.
Yes.
The Minnesota Lynx of the WNBA, the 2015 beating the Indiana Pacers 69-52. And if you get Don, who is not a sports person, to say, all right, it's a great moment. Crowd is all around, confetti and et cetera, over 17,000. But continue on, Mr. Alves, continue on. We still have, 15 minutes left, 17 minutes left.
Yes, we do. Yes, and Mr. Edwards, we just wrapped up with Ms. Angela Edwards of Education Explosion, and, you know, I found out that a lot of the ideas that the Minneapolis Urban League had back in, like, the 13th grade and getting people in school, those were actually Ms. Edwards' ideas, and she has the paper trail from 2007 on, Mr. Edwards, that I'm sure the Minneapolis Urban League does not have.
Yeah, I heard rumors of that. Let's elaborate on that a little bit more.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
You know, let me get her to tell the story. Ms. Edwards, are you back there?
Yes, Ms. Edwards is right here.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Here.
Now, okay, good. Now, we're talking about, I remember you and I had this conversation about this 13th grade and you were in the Urban League, and I know you had said that you want to get into a back and forth, but it's important to let the listeners and the general public know how hard you have worked these years to try to get this thing in place. But when you were at the Urban League, did you receive any grants or direct funding?
Well, when I was at the Urban League, I received maybe a total of 2 grants, which may have added up to around $15,000. But the thing is, I ended up creating my own will funding. I took some student loan money and started my own moving company. That's why I have the passion to help my community by getting people in school who needs to be. Adults in Minneapolis households need to be led by the intelligence and the education of a parent. And when you're educating the parents of the household, the children will follow. First of all, we must take back a stand and say, if these are single-parent households, why isn't the household being pushed into education? You cannot reach your child unless you're your own child hero. You must put yourself first in the mirror to become educated and to know why it is to be educated. How can you teach a child to be educated and to push them through school if you're not educated as a parent? Yes, this is something I've been doing since 2007, and yes, I was at the Minneapolis Urban League. People were coming to me for me even when I wasn't there, and now I'm just blessed to have a building a thing where I welcome people to come. Minneapolis needs to get on board with educating the households, which is single parent households in Minneapolis. We need incentives, we need degrees instead of recertification for food stamps in Section 8. We need a degree and a review of our college courses. So education is important. I'm hoping to ignite the minds with flames of education. So So come out and see us at 4149 Lindale Avenue North in Minneapolis, Suite 101.
Okay. All right. Mr. Edwards. Do you have any questions for Ms. Edwards? She kind of explained everything that was going on.
I think it's only fair to be able to have a clear discussion. Like I said, we're in the midst of 17,000 people here at the Target Center in downtown Minneapolis. Minnesota Lynx have just won their third championship in the last five for their home crowd, and that's very important. Jubilation everywhere, Don. Jubilation everywhere. But why don't you finish up with Angela? And we'll have about 12, 13 minutes left. Phone lines are continuously open.
Yeah. The phone line number is 347-426-3904. And Mr. Edwards, M is trying to call us from South Africa, and we're going to try to see if we can get a number where we can call him directly from our switchboard, because he's not able, he says he's not being able to call in on the regular call-in number, and I do not have an 800 number for him to call, so we'll see if he sends messages to me.
Who is this that's calling us? Who?
M from South Africa.
Oh, my God, we were looking for that call, that transatlantic call. What we can find on the board. We have approximately 14 minutes left. We wanted to get him. I understand he is in either Pretoria or Cape Town. Is that correct?
Yes. I think he's in Cape Town now. And he was going to give us a call and talk us through some things. And so I'm trying to see if he will send me a number where I can call him from our switchboard, because I do have outgoing long distance international here, and it wouldn't be a problem.
Yes.
So we'll just wait. We'll wait and see what happens here. But Ms. Edwards, in closing, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Yes, I would like to tell your listeners it's very important to know that we can help you create a resume. We can help you register for school. We help you to file financial aid. We help you to look for affordable daycare. Education Explosion has lots of resources and services that ensures to help you go back to school. So the goal of Education Explosion is to help you with any resources necessary so that you can complete an educational goal. Because just think about it. If you're in a room full of legislators, leaders, or even community people, and you say, anyone in the room, if whoever in the room, raise your hand if you have an education, you're going to see every hand in the room. So why don't we become leaders by raising our hand and say, yes, we can do Education Explosion. We can educate ourselves. We're on the way to be educated. And that's the armor of knowing that Black lives do matter. Educate yourself and take advantage of the resources that's located at 4149 Lindale Avenue North in Minneapolis, Suite.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. We greatly appreciate it. Now we're going to go back to Mr. Edwards and get an update, and I'm going to put you back in the queue so you can finish listening. Thank you.
All right,
Mr. Edwards.
Yes,
sir.
As I said before, history being made in the context of the Minnesota Lynx, third time in 5 years, have won the WNBA championship. That is the championship of women's professional basketball. But for the first time in the quest for those three titles, they have won in front of their own home crowd. In the previous 2 years, they were involved in a three-game sweep of the two teams, one of them being Atlanta, the Atlanta Dream. And so this is a great moment. It's a great moment for women's basketball. Let me just say this to Sal. You can continue to hear the crowd. Thousands and thousands are here. We're getting a number of over 17,000 was the attendance here at Target Center in downtown Minneapolis. And I feel good as a person that has been very much involved in sports for many, many years in this town, because the Star Tribune and much of the fourth estate in this town have ignored in the last 6 years the most proficient, prolific, and successful professional franchise, the Minnesota Lynx. But also, let me just give a shout-out to Glenn Taylor, the owner of both the Minnesota Lynx and the team that you you identified, Don Allen, the Minnesota Timberwolves, whose season will be opening in just a couple of weeks. And by the way, our best wishes and prayers go out to Coach Cliff Saunders as he battles cancer. But this is a great moment for the Lynx organization, the Timberwolves organization, but it is also a great moment for Minnesota sports, because we really we're a bunch of homers, Don, and that's when you use that reference, you talk about people who always find some kind of rationale on why the home team didn't win, be it the Twins, the Timberwolves, the Vikings, the Minnesota Gophers, basketball, et cetera. These Minnesota Lynx have been winning. In fact, what they have announced, established, is what is called a dynasty, okay? It's refreshing to see it. But go ahead. Do we have a caller?
No, we don't have a caller, but I'm thinking that maybe we should build the Lynx a stadium. Stand by. Caller, you're live on the air. Who's calling? Hello?
Well, I'm just listening in.
Okay, that's someone in the queue. Sorry about that, Mr. Edwards. But, yeah, I think that we should, I think that we should just set up a policy that whichever major sports franchise in the city or in the state is winning, they get the stadium. So the Vikings lose their stadium. The Timberwolves lose their upgrade to the Target Center. Actually, we should just name it the Lynx Center.
Don, you are up to the figures, but you're absolutely correct, because this Target Center is now the home, once again, of a championship team, 2011, 2013, 2015. And maybe we should petition the city of Minneapolis, who has custodial control, to rename this the Lynx Center. Woo! I love that, Don.
Yep.
Way to go.
That's what it should be. They should have the logo of the Lynx out there, and it should be called the Lynx Center. We're going to tell people that all across the world. Yeah, that's an important thing to do. So,
all right. And to our brothers in South Africa, we wish that we would have had a better understanding of getting through, because we could have talked to our friends at the NSA. I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
If we were talking about foreign affairs, they would have let us in, if you will. By the way, different links are now expressing their thanks to the fans. They have a big, beautiful trophy. They're out there. Don, there are still at least 15,000 people here in the Target Center. Listen to just a tad of it.
Okay. Barely it's fading in and out.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just fading in and out. We can barely hear it. So let's see here. 01.
You know, actually, Don, we've scooped the majority for the state here, because I don't think anybody see the broadcast that's coming from here is the national broadcast. ESPN, okay? And actually what we've done, Don, we have scooped the local media by being live with regards to the closing celebration, et cetera. Now, they'll show that on the 10 o'clock news, maybe even at a quarter to 10, KMSP may show a fact. But we've been live from the inception. So, hey, need to give ourselves a pat on the back. But what else we got, Don? We're coming down to the last 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Is that correct?
Yes, we have 4 more minutes left on the show here. Yes, we do. We're going for an hour tonight.
Have time for any phone calls. A couple of people have tried to call me on our special setup, my cell phone, but, of course, we are not going to interrupt this broadcast. Anything that we've overlooked tonight?
I don't think so. I think we hit everything so far, and then anything that we didn't hit, we certainly will cover it on our show next week. But, yeah, I think that we've done very well in covering the stuff that needs to be covered, getting the information out to the masses that need to know what's happening in this city. And so that's an important piece that we do every week here on the Ron and Don Show.
All right. All right. Let me just hear the Lynx fans in a very festive mood singing a song of "We Are the Winner." We are the champs, if you will.
Yep, and I am setting up a petition on
Facebook. Because this
Facebook
is probably
to,
history. People, yeah. You may not see this again in life. You know what I'm saying? Because sports is continual perpetual motion, if you will. There are some sports teams in the center that have and never will enjoy this kind of moment. You know what I'm saying? The winning of a trophy, the winning of a championship in front of their home fans and etc. So, again, we want to give a shout-out to Glenn Taylor, the owner of both the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx, and just thank him for keeping this franchise here. There was a situation, Don. Excuse me.
Mr. Edwards,
people wanting
there
to buy shirts and souvenirs, etc. It's unbelievable. But anyway, to Glenn Taylor, he's the man that owns the franchises. He's the one that kept the franchise going. And I think Minnesotans, and particularly Lynx fans, owe him a real debt of gratitude and appreciation. Now, Don, I'm going to wrap it around here. Let you wrap it at that end. We're going to go back into the poll, quote-unquote, of the stadium. There are some people that have we've been talking to and interviewing over the last this season, and so we just want to savor the moment, okay? So
okay,
we'll be back
okay,
with you.
Lot.
Alan will wrap it. Again, Don, hopefully he got as many issues as he possibly could under the circumstances.
My car, don't push me, cause I'm close to the